3.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. It's a weekly show where we feature local artists who may break out to become superstars. May is the operating word. Today I am pleased to have in the studio Brenton Vaughn and Mike James. Or Mike James and Brenton Vaughn. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Great, Roger. Thanks.
So I had the pleasure of listening to your CD over the weekend. Very impressive. A lot of different styles.
Thank you very much.
And I can't see the back of it. What's it called?
It's an EP. It's a five-song EP, and it's called Décadas.
And what does that mean? Is that English or Italian or Spanish? Or
in Spanish, Décadas means decades.
And, oh, okay.
Has an interesting story as to how it was inspired.
I'm all ears.
The beautiful model on the cover is my wife, and Mary Frances. And we went out to do the photo shoot one Saturday morning, I believe, or whatever morning it was. It was originally intended to be titled Rain, and we were looking for a car. He had this idea. I was the photographer, and we had the idea to shoot a shot in a car with water, rain in the windows. Couldn't quite get the hang of it. Pulled up in front of a diner in Danbury, Connecticut, and there was this awesome, beautiful 63 classic Cadillac parked in front. Long story short, I got the nice old gentleman sitting and eating his breakfast to toss me the keys to the Cadillac. We took the picture of Mary Frances in the Cadillac, and she had a beautifully Latin look to her that day, and it's inspired me to write the song Décadas in Spanish. I'm certainly not a student of Spanish, so thank goodness to the computer. I worked my way through it and wrote the song in Spanish.
What did the computer tell you how to speak Spanish? Or?
Well, as a songwriter, and any songwriters that are watching or any songwriters know, writing lyrics requires finding the right words to say what you want to say. In often cases, you know, words just don't have the right cadence, they have the right flow to go with music. So it's difficult, I think, for any songwriter to find those words that attach well to music. In this particular task, in this project, it was particularly challenging because I would write a line in English, I would then go onto the computer and translate it to Spanish, and it would come back, and it may not have the kind of flow at all. So I had to continue to rewrite it in English and then translate it to Spanish. I had the great benefit that one of our granddaughter's other grandmother is a Spanish professor, and she translated it for me. And I was pleased to find out that there were really only two words that were not wrong words, but that there were better words for them. She helped me get as well as helped me with the diction and the accents a little bit as well.
Is there an overriding theme to the album? You've got five songs. They're vastly different styles.
It's very much a multi-genre album, and it's a singer-songwriter project, it's certainly not a concept album. While as with any group of songs, there's songs in that have some have great bearing on my personal life. Fortunately, some that are beyond my life, because that would be a little bit boring, I think. But it was intended to be very multi-genre and show many different styles that I write in.
It's interesting because when I put it into the computer to rip it in iTunes, mm-hmm. someone had already entered it in somewhere, and it came back and the genre was country alt-punk. Did you put that in?
No, but I'm glad to hear that. I like that. I don't know what we'll get to here tonight, and I think we're going to do some of the mellower stuff, but there's some kicking rockers on here. I mean, there's Brenton did a lot of guitar work. I did a lot of guitar work. We're both guitar players, electric guitar players. And, it's all over the place in that regard. So I'm happy to hear that.
Where can people... Well, let's first mention your website, MikeJamesMusic.com.
Yep.
Let me say it again, MikeJamesMusic.com, spelled exactly the way you would think it was spelled, right?
Yes, it is.
Do you have... I know that you're going into the studio again, but are there any clubs that you play on a regular basis?
For years and years, over the years as a performer, I started off playing in rock bands, mostly dual guitar kind of rock bands. Um, I, um, I then, over the years, I kind of shifted at one point to country, and I had a younger sister who was an up-and-coming country singer back in the Midwest, and who was killed very tragically many, many decades ago, and it perked my interest in the kind of music that she was playing. And at that time, some pretty cool things were happening in country. Some very rootsy country stuff was happening, and I exercised on my ambition with country music, and for probably 12 years or more around here, I had a very active country dance band playing in clubs throughout the Northeast. Until things happened, and I don't want to be critical of any particular artist, but until country got a little bit stupid from my perspective, a little bit too top 40, and I pulled back from country and moved directly into the singer-songwriter mode that I'm much more in now and have been for several years.
Can you name one club that you play in?
Restaurants. I mean, I'm really
okay,
doing...
Okay, name one restaurant.
Plain Jane's Restaurant in Bethel, Connecticut is one that I played frequently over the years. Clubs that I've played. What's the name of Billy Willie's new place?
Let's get Billy Baloney's.
Billy Baloney's. There's a club in Danbury, Connecticut called Billy Baloney's.
I think
focus on original live music.
What's interesting to me is one of my bass players lives in Bethel, Connecticut.
Oh, really?
John Zanella.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you know John?
Do I know John? He played bass for me for many years.
Okay.
And he's one of my favorite bass players.
He's a great guy. We have some gigs coming up. You know what? Let's show the folks what you got.
Yeah, man.
Tell me the two songs you're going to play.
Well, I guess I'll do the first song on the EP. It's a song called It Has the Matter. This song was written in one of my favorite places to write. It's a Starbucks at 73rd and Columbus in Manhattan. It's just the kind of a place where, it's a street corner that I found inspirational. I sat there one night, an elderly gentleman walked into the Starbucks, and I felt disappointed that I wasn't sitting next to him. To my fortune and my happiness, he asked me, excuse me, sir, do you know the time? And
that's
I seized
awesome.
The opportunity to go over and sit next to him. And that's the first line to the song.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, you got it. Dreams each 7 years ago.
you going to play next for us?
Getting right into another one? Let's play the title song to the EP.
Okay.
Brent plays some little Spanish-style guitar on it.
Cool.
And for those of you who speak Spanish out in the audience, I apologize if I don't accent the words exactly as they should be accented, but...
Well, in White Plains, we're going to have a lot of critics.
Well, you know what? I set up play a lot of restaurants, and, you know, there are often guests that speak Spanish, and, you know, I've asked many people if they could understand the words and what the message was, and this is a simple love song. And I think it's pretty understandable for those of you who speak Spanish. I may hear differently from you. Send me an email.
Okay,
but,
Mike, let's
but
do
I
it.
Think that, you know, I'll go with it. And the accent. Ready? Montes por la espalda, compañeros por tantos años, más honrados ahora que nunca, capturados más por cada año pasado. En un sueño bajo las estrellas, el tiempo se paró por un momento. El cuchillo del viento, una canción de amor. Cortea el canto de su belleza.
Is it to work with your son in the studio and live? Does he take direction?
He's a pain. No.
Of course.
Brent had a lot of creative input on this EP. Breton's like not only an amazing guitar player. I mean, he's obviously we're not showing you some of the rocking side of this stuff. If we have any more time, we'll show you one a sample of the kind of stuff that might be. Breton was involved in the composition of a lot of songs. For example, one of the faster songs on the EP, I remember the summer before last, way back when we started this thing. It's been a long, passionate project. He started on the drums. He's a great drummer, bass player, guitar player. And we sat out in our studio, which is our garage. I had a Telecaster. I was just kind of playing the chords. And Brenton did the drums to some of these kicking rockers. And those same drums are on the EP. He has a capacity to, I think, hear the whole song in his head before it's even laid down to tape or whatever, digital these days.
Mike,
and
do you have a short rocker under 4 minutes?
Yeah, man.
Why don't you play it?
We can. I'll do It Has a Manner.
That,
yeah, let's do it, man.
Halfway past.
Which one are you rather than?
That one, probably.
When the time is right.
Is that what
job.
Thanks, man.
Now we come to the part of the show where we ask some questions that hopefully elicit some of your musical background, some of your musical tastes, and you were prepped before. The first question was, if you were going away alone to a desert island, what 2 or 3 CDs would you bring with you?
What kind of sound system do they have there?
A boombox.
Got it.
They got a boombox.
I'd bring, I think I would bring Guitar Town by Steve Earle. I bring other stuff you never heard of. I bring Mark Lynn CD. Mark Lynn is a bass player for a punk band out of Boston called the Ducky Boys. And he's just amazing, amazing young artist. And I'd have to bring a Dylan album, you know.
Which one?
I think Blonde on Blonde. I think, yeah. It'd be a tough call on that. Unless I could bring the greatest hits.
You could bring that.
There you go.
That's funny. I used to live right behind the Chelsea Hotel where he wrote that album.
Did you really?
Cool. Yeah, I used to see Sid Vicious walking hand in hand with his mom right before he OD'd.
Wow, man.
Because it was a mama's boy.
There's some great stories about artists writing some great music in the Chelsea Hotel. No Depression, yeah. It had some great interviews with some people who lived there. And I still think they're trying to be inspired to write songs now.
Unfortunately, like last month, they...
They got condemned?
No, they forced out the guy who'd been managing it for the past 30 years.
Yeah, I read that, yeah. Yeah, I read that.
Because they basically... I guess they want to go more upscale. Whatever.
A blow to the art world.
So... You play out a lot. Supposing you could bring back... I mean, it is almost Halloween time. Supposing you could bring back the dead. You could... That's right, the Grateful Dead, Jerry. You could bring anybody back you want at any age you want them. You could have anybody living. And if you wanted to put together one or two or three bands, who would you put in your groups?
Brent and I definitely want to get all the guys from the Oneaters to back me up, but they're all big movie stars tomorrow. No, just kidding. Anybody would be nuts, I think, to say that they wouldn't like to do a couple of gigs with Hendrix playing lead for them. The thought of being in the same room with a guitar in my hand with Hendrix in the room would be, you know, pretty intense. Bass players, I'd have John Zanella play with me.
Well, I know John's great. We give him a plug, but...
Really, bass players, honestly, guys like John, another guy, D.B. Marino, who was from down here in White Plains, are guys that... They're great bass players because they're monster players, but they play the song. And, John knows what I mean, and
I know what you mean.
Rare
to find a bass player who plays the song rather than... You got a lot of drummers, a lot of bass players, especially young guys, no offense, coming up. You don't do it, actually. You play the song. I was impressed by that. But a lot of guys think that the show is about every bass lick you can fill into 3 minutes. A lot of drummers think the more rolls I put in, the better it is. And then they don't realize that the guys who get the gigs are the guys who play the song and put nothing in. Yeah. One woman, I read this interview with this pedal steel player, and she said, you know, I got all these gigs because all I did was try to make the singer look good. And so few people realize that they're there to make the singer look good because he's the one who's selling the band.
Absolutely. John was always, whenever I could get him to play, and he knows that we played a lot of gigs together. D.B. Marino was a guy that, this guy could rip up a guitar playing jazz, but when he played bass, if the song required him to sit and hit the note, he'd do it. I used to watch him play, and he'd be like, if he wasn't sure where it was going, he'd do this, and his body would keep playing, and all of a sudden he'd come back. He never forced a note, and it's just true with all kinds of music, you know.
Give us some famous people, because we want to hear the people who inspired you.
That inspired me? Early on, I think that I was very inspired by any dual guitar rock bands. I couldn't help but be inspired by the Beatles and the Stones. And I think in my website it says the Beatles, no, not really John Lennon. I was very influenced by John Lennon and that kind of, that passionate, not necessarily at all complicated, but passionate songwriting, passionate performance. Then on to a lot of dual rock bands, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Bad Company, stuff like that. I was very influenced by the British invasion of the kind of like the Yardbirds and stuff like that. And then Machine Head by Deep Purple changed my life forever, and I started playing in some kicking rock bands. And then I had a band, it took me to a band that I played in just out of high school called Screwball. We opened up for Ted Nugent and the Amboy Dukes one night at Lake County Junior College. And we were like the Ramones 10 years before the Ramones. If you go to my website, you'll see a picture of me with the hair and a leather jacket and the jeans and everything.
MikeJamesMusic.com?
Yeah, MikeJamesMusic.com.
That's mine.
I played a lot of crazy Waylon rock. I always ended up being the front guy in the band because I could sing better usually than anybody. You know, the wildest rock I do right now, guitar play, I play in a church worship band in Bethel, Connecticut, and travel up there for some and play lead guitar in that band. That's where I get to get out the distortion pedals and all that kind of cranking stuff and have a good time, the old grandfather
band. Well, Mike,
band.
I want to thank you for coming.
Thanks, man.
This is a wrap. You did a great job.
Cool.
See you soon.
All right, man.